At the top of his lungs, the order infused with the pep talk and enhanced command skills. His voice reverberated across the battlefield, cutting through the melody that had ensnared him and still ensnared his allies. Noelle was the first to wake up, snapping her eyes open as she cried,
"No, Mama, don't die again!"
Her eyes were clouded with confusion as she looked around wildly, searching for something or someone. Calling out for her mother, her voice carried a raw intensity that tugged at Nick's heart. He knew the pain of loss and the ache of longing all too well. But this was not the time for grief or reminiscence.
"Noelle, it isn't real. Focus! You have to help everyone!"
Nick called out, his voice cutting through the lingering echoes of the glacial siren's song. She was the team's only sound-based mage, blessed with a rare and underappreciated gift that allowed her to manipulate and control sound waves. He needed her. Noelle's look of confusion turned to anger as she saw the sirens feeding off everyone. She raised her hands to her mouth and let loose a shout, yelling at the top of her lungs as she and Nick made as much noise as they could, and Nick shouted out as many commands as possible to break the spell. But their voices just weren't as loud as the sirens, and the music was overpowering their attempts as the sirens began to get closer to their victims, tendrils coming out of their mouths as they prepared to feast on their prey. That was, until Noelle simply slapped the man next to her across the face, the sound audible even over the sirens as the man blinked twice before coming to his senses.
"Just slap the sense out of him!"
Noelle told Nick as she went to the next person, her hands striking her victims hard enough to nearly knock them over as she forcefully dragged them back to reality. Nick, realizing how easy the solution had been this whole time, rushed to the one woman he knew could physically motivate everyone. He came up to Elizabeth and shook her awake, fearing that if he slapped her, it would be him on the ground a moment later.
Mom, don't go. Dad needs you. Dad can't love anyone but you. I need you,"
Elizabeth mumbled as he shook her. A second later, her eyes opened, and she was there, in the present.
"What? But...
Elizabeth stuttered for a moment. Then, seeing the floating monsters and realizing what was going on, she started throwing her medicine ball not at her teammates, but at the sirens floating in the air around them. Like a Final Fantasy X blitzball player, she managed to combo a few of the strikes, knocking the monsters out of the air one after the other as she freed their victims from their control.
"You will have no mercy!"
she yelled. The sirens fell from the sky one after the other, crashing to the ground as Elizabeth went into full rage mode. The effect was immediate. The enchantment that had ensnared their allies fractured like fragile glass, the glazed expressions of Nick's companions replaced with astonishment.
"Fight!"
Siowa cried as she woke from her slumber, her voice carrying a renewed strength.
"Remember who we are!"
Spencer followed suit, conjuring a shield of crackling lightning around his teammates to protect them as they regained their bearings. Their powerful magic broken, the sirens had no defense against the united force of Nick and his comrades. Nick, fueled by a surge of adrenaline, lunged forward with his standard, striking out at a glacial siren's tentacles as he did his best to sever the connections of those that Elizabeth hadn't already struck to the ground. His standard glimmered with an aura as it cleaved through the monster's ethereal tendrils, his soul stealer's ring drawing in the creature's life force to heal him even as he dispelled their enchantments with each successful strike. However, just as quickly as the siren's song had been crushed into cries of pain by Elizabeth's medicine ball, the remaining creatures backed up as quickly as they could, trying to escape the range of Elizabeth's projectile. Then they began singing again, trying to reweave their magic melody across the group.
"Screw it! I'm not waiting to see anyone die to that!"
Nick heard Clarissa yell as a dozen spikes shot up from the ground, stabbing the glacial sirens and holding them in place. He hadn't realized exactly how fragile the monsters were until Clarissa's attack was able to succeed so easily. Most creatures of their level would have been unfazed by the earthen spikes, the soil lacking the hardness to even pierce a gambeson, much less a standard monster's protective hide. But it had worked. Just to make sure the job was done, Spencer cast one more lightning spell, the chain erupting across the remaining monsters as it fried them in place above the earthen skewers, echoes of their death screams the only thing left after their icy bodies shattered. The XP notices appeared, indicating the end of the wave. "Everyone okay?" Nick called out, his voice hoarse as his gaze swept over his companions.
"Alive."
Elizabeth's one-word response and flat expression unsettled Nick a little as he turned around to the others, checking them and hoping they were doing better.
"Still kicking,"
Noelle responded, though her smile didn't quite reach her eyes. The toll of her sonic spellcasting wore on her.
Stay with me, Alan!
Adele urged. Her hands glowed with a soft healing light, mending a gash on Alan's arm.
We can't afford to lose our artificer.
Thanks, Adele. Good to know I'm important.
Alan replied with a laugh before wincing from the pain. Nick felt a little guilty since he hadn't even noticed when his friend had been hurt, much less when he'd been dragged to the medical station. But there he was, his arm torn up, the machine on it sticking in and out of his flesh as his blood kept pooling up on the icy bed.
Come on, Alan, stop the pity crap.
Topaz joked as she popped open a red vial and forced him to down the contents.
You're gonna be just fine. Don't be giving us the this-is-as-far-as-I-can-go look.
As Topaz, Alan, and Adele chuckled at the situation, Nick turned to find Sioa, wondering how she had handled the siren music. She averted her eyes, not meeting his gaze as she turned her head to stare at the portal.
I think we need to prepare for the next wave.
She mumbled before Nick could ask her anything. It was clear that whatever she had seen had rattled her, but she wasn't wrong. They hadn't had more than a minute's reprieve when the red portal was already pulsing ominously again like a heart beating with malice. A moment later, it grew even larger, and from its depths emerged a humanoid creature of ice whose very presence sent icy ripples through the air. It towered over them, a colossus born of permafrost. The hollow holes where its eyes should have been felt like they hid the gates of oblivion as its empty stare bore down on them. Its massive four-story frame, composed entirely of crystalline ice, towered over Nick. The thing looked like it could easily crush any of them with a single step of its foot. Nick quickly activated Omnitrainer's insight.
Glacia Behemoth. Towering and formidable, this creature is composed of living ice and is a manifestation of icy fury given form. Insight note. The Glacier Behemoth's icy composition grants it extraordinary resilience against conventional weapons, as mundane blades and projectiles break upon impact. However, its frozen nature also makes it vulnerable to extreme heat and fire-based attacks, which can weaken its structural integrity and render it more susceptible to damage. Also, due to the hardened nature of the crystals that make up the monster, it is weakest at its joints. If enough damage is done to these spots, it may lose limbs, but it won't die until its core, located in its head, is destroyed.
Dear God, someone muttered, the sentiment echoing in Nick's heart as he stared at the monstrosity.
Nick, we can do this, right?
Noelle, who had woken first from the siren song, asked as she looked at him. Nick felt like he could sense her absolute faith in him as he gripped his standard tighter and stared at the monster.
Waiting for your orders, boss, Oliver called out, mace in hand. Come on, little brother. What are we doing? Arnold asked.
Nick quickly looked at all their faces, at Arnold, Elizabeth, and the others all staring at him, waiting on his leadership.
We keep it simple.
We win, Nick answered, forming a plan in his head. While he wasn't sure if they stood a chance even with the Omnitrainer's inside notes, even with the large team they had, he knew they couldn't lose, and he couldn't back down. Too many people had their faith in him, and too many lives depended on their victory. He stood there in front of the makeshift unit of dungeon divers, right between the monster that threatened to kill them all and the city behind them, and he drove his standard into the ground. Its aura radiated outward as he pulled out his poisonous throwing spear. And prepared for battle.
Chapter 33. Nick stood at the forefront of his beleaguered team, facing down the towering menace that was the Glacier Behemoth. The creature loomed over them like a mountain of malice and frost. Nick activated his signet of the Verdant Guardian Ring, hoping that even amid the frost and ice there would be some way for the plant-based shambler to manifest. To his elated surprise, the creature began to form, but the frozen and brittle plants did little to impart the shambler with their power as they came together.
Tangle him!
Nick ordered his shambler, hoping to wrap the massive monster up and open an opportunity for attack. The shambler let out a roar that sounded like 100-year-old trees breaking in a storm and charged the 4-story monster. The shambler's arms split and grew into long vines that wrapped around the legs of the icy Goliath. The massive creature stumbled and nearly fell but caught itself on the lip of the wall that surrounded the dungeon compound. While the monster struggled, Nick turned to the men and women who'd risked their lives to help save the city and saw that they all had stunned looks, as if they couldn't believe the size of the task ahead. Nick used enhanced command as he shouted,
"All right, guys, it's only got two weak spots. One, it can't handle heat. Two, the more you move it, and the more you hit its joints, the more damage it'll take. But it won't matter how much we hurt it until we stab its heart. Take out the joints, and then hit the core at the first opportunity."
The order seemed to break the group out of the stupor Nick knew only too well when facing such an imposing foe, and they all started to move.
"Then it's a good thing we ran that errand at the Terraquake Mountain Dungeon and picked up the right toys!"
Arnold yelled as he leapt past Nick, flying through the air and right at the restricted creature's arm, striking the elbow with as much force as he could summon using the Maul of Afterburn. The effect was immediate. The explosive combination of physical and elemental damage created a small red hole on the ice golem's limb. As Arnold finished his attack, landing to the side of the large monster, Spencer and Clarissa targeted the same spot, releasing a combination of hurling rocks and lightning that continued to expand the red spot until it took up nearly a third of the elbow.
"That's it! We're doing this fast!"
Nick shouted excitedly as he joined the fray, throwing his own spear at the monster, the tip plunging into the growing hole on the glacial giant's right elbow. As Nick's spear struck, and the archer's arrows began to hit the same spot too, it looked like the small hole was beginning to grow into a large crater. However, without warning, the glacial Goliath reared back, a deep rumble echoing from its throat, before unleashing an icy blast of blue energy. The breath surged forward like a torrent of frozen death aimed squarely at Nick and those who had stepped forward with him. They scattered, most dodging the blast by mere inches as it swept back and forth, turning the ground into a slick sheet of ice. The Shambler, which still struggled to entangle the behemoth, couldn't dodge the blast. The blue energy hit it squarely, encasing the creature in a block of clear ice. Its vine-like limbs snapped as the boss monster walked forward towards the gates of the guild compound and the city beyond.
"Keep moving!"
Siowak called out. Nick realized that his team had to stay mobile to avoid being frozen solid by the behemoth, caught in the path of another icy onslaught.
Crap!
Spencer stuttered for a moment, having come closest to being struck by the ice breath, the cold making his teeth chatter as he barely managed to get the one word out properly.
I have a spell for this. Wait a second.
Spencer stumbled from the wind, nearly falling face first into the ground before catching himself. His usually nimble fingers struggled with the somatic components of a spell. Nick saw the desperation in his eyes.
"Keep it together, Spencer! We need that heat now!"
Nick yelled back, doing his best to encourage his friend as his own breath formed a cloud of vapor in front of his face. While Nick and the others were struggling to just stay alive in the cold, the stronger party members, Elizabeth and Arnold, had circled around to attack from behind, their weapons swinging with precision as they aimed for the icy creature's leg joints. Each of their strikes caused huge chunks of ice to break off, slowing down its movements and eliciting more furious roars. Christina, Oliver, and Siowa joined them, rushing around the behemoth's massive legs. Their attacks scored the icy limbs as Nick lifted Spencer and Clarissa up in the back, doing his best to move them out of harm's way before they died from one of the icy attacks shooting out of the behemoth.
"Nick, we can't keep this up forever!"
Christina warned, her voice tinged with the strain of maintaining her protective spells against the cold while she attacked with her rapier.
"Don't talk like that! We're not out of this fight yet!" Nick replied.
Setting Spencer and Clarissa down like sacks of potatoes, he turned towards the monster and threw his returning spear at the behemoth's knee. As the spear hit, it injected some small amount of corrosive poison. With a gesture, Nick recalled the spear to his outstretched hand. At the same time, he saw Spencer downing a blue mana potion while struggling to stand behind Noelle, Winter, and Robert. Bruised and battered, Spencer and Clarissa's hands moved frantically as they tried to cast a spell to turn the tide. A cannonball-sized rock was ripped from the earth by Clarissa while concentrated flames burst forth from Spencer's palms, swirling outward and heating the rock into a fiery sphere of magma. The scorching ball of heat then soared through the frigid air, leaving a trail of glowing red and orange fire in its wake. It collided with the behemoth's left arm, engulfing it in a fierce blaze. The beast roared in agony as a large chunk of its arm sizzled and evaporated, steam rising from the searing wound. A sound like the crack of 1,000 icebergs rending apart tore through the air, the arctic roar of the beast cascading over them in a wave of numbing cold. Nick gritted his teeth against the debilitating chill that sought to leech the strength from his muscles and the resolve from his heart. Oliver and Christina staggered beside him, their eyes wide with shock, frost clinging to their bodies. The behemoth's body began to shimmer with an icy blue light. Suddenly, jagged shards of ice the size and thickness of a man's forearm began to sprout from its colossal form, growing larger and sharper by the second.
"Shields up!"
Nick yelled as soon as he saw the behemoth charging up, recognizing the action from his last life. Many of the ice walkers used the same attack. He shouted out the order just in time for his guild and those around them to defend themselves. Winter and Robert moved in concert with Noelle, raising their shields to protect the vulnerable Spencer and Clarissa behind them as those two worked on casting another fiery orb. With a loud bellow, the creature launched the shards in a furious volley towards its stunned opponents. The air was filled with projectiles, each one aimed with deadly precision. Even though Nick had brought out his own shield from his inventory and raised it, the number of shards striking his shield knocked him back like he'd been tackled by a rugby player twice his size. The desperate cries of agony filling the air let him know that the other's defenses had failed as well. Lifting his head, he saw that Christina had been knocked to the ground by a particularly large shard. Part of it was still sticking into her side.
"Keep moving!"
Nick yelled as Oliver pulled Christina to her feet and rushed her towards Adele's healing hands in the back.
"Siowa!"
Nick yelled, catching a glimpse of her silhouette amidst the violent storm of ice. Her spear spun as she desperately tried to deflect the shards that were slicing through her skin. But even as they fought back against the onslaught of ice, the behemoth's massive body seemed to absorb the frigid cold surrounding it, regenerating and growing stronger with each passing moment. Their futile attacks did nothing but fuel its determination to destroy everything in its path.
"Press forward," Nick ordered.
He wanted to order everyone to run, to back up and regroup, but he knew retreat meant death for everyone in the city behind them. Their only chance was to press the attack. With an activation of his charge skill and adrenaline that surged through his veins like liquid fire, he closed the distance, his companions at his back. Each step forward was a battle against the icy aura of the behemoth, each breath a searing gasp in lungs constricted by cold. Nick reached the monster and struck out with his spear, aiming for the left knee as he watched Oliver leap and hit the right one. A moment later, a large ball of magma exploded across the giant ice boss, leaving a large crater in the monster's left thigh. He and Oliver weren't the only ones to attack. Elizabeth, Arnold, Sioa, Reginald, and the others, everyone still standing and mobile enough to fight despite the cold, had joined him as they aimed for the knees, their targets clear. Nick knew he just had to break the knees, to ground the Goliath so he could go for its head and finish the job. After landing his first blow, Nick rushed past the monster, drawing the attention of the glacier behemoth, while Elizabeth and Arnold flanked it from the side, the siblings working in harmony as if they'd trained for this fight 1,000 times before. The colossal creature roared in frustration as it found itself pulled in opposite directions, its attention divided between the relentless assault from each of them as they continued to stay split up after striking. A moment later, as Nick frantically struck and retreated for the third time, their efforts bore fruit. As the behemoth turned to face him, a loud crack sounded, and the spot where the magical magma ball had blasted the monster shattered as the joint broke, and the boss began to tilt to the side as it slowly failed to stay upright. The glacier behemoth crashed to the ground, sending up plumes of snow and ice, blinding Nick for a moment. He shook his head and saw that the creature lay sprawled on the ground, struggling to get to its hands and knee, its head finally in range for attack.
"Hell yeah! That's it! Now go for the core in its head!"
Nick yelled, preparing to rush forward. However, the moment he took his first step toward his new target, the cavernous eyes of the glacial behemoth glowed white, and then suddenly a large pulse of energy exploded from them. The blast struck Nick as it spread out, but he felt like it didn't do anything. It just passed right through him. All the same, it caused him to pause, hesitating in place for a moment, as he looked around to see what had happened. It was then that he noticed what the energy had done. The snow and ice around him began to shift and shape, forming ice elementals birthed from the frigid environment.
"More incoming from behind!"
Alan shouted from where he lay, injured.
"Freaking!"
Nick had to hold off a torrent of curse words that filled his head as he saw the chaos erupting around him.
"All right. We have no choice. Focus on the elementals. We need to destroy them as quickly as possible,"
Nick commanded, launching himself toward the nearest ice construct with a ferocity born of desperation. As Siowa engaged another elemental with the grace of Yan Mu's spiral dance, her movements painting arcs of destruction in the frigid air, Nick felt the ground tremble beneath him. The downed behemoth leaned forward, striking the ground with its massive fist, the impact sending shockwaves rippling across the icy terrain. The glacial slam hit with the force of an avalanche. The concrete and asphalt-covered ground cracked and heaved, turning the flat surface of the terrain into a jagged mess of frozen debris. Nick stumbled, his foot slipping on a treacherous patch of ice. The world tilted as he nearly fell, struggling to stabilize himself with the help of his spear like a tightrope walker doing a balancing act. Finally regaining his footing just in time to block an elemental's punch toward his gut, he slid back an inch and then kicked off his back leg and stabbed the creature in the face.
"Siowa, your left!"
he barked, eyes darting to catch sight of her graceful yet lethal attack against the encroaching ice elementals. She immediately followed up the attack with a pose and a flex as she activated her ogre might bracelet before thrusting out with her spear again. Even though the ice elementals weren't tough, there were just so many of them that Nick couldn't free himself long enough from their attacks to land one of his own against the core of the behemoth.
"Crap! Dodge! It's going to breathe again!"
Alan warned from the back, and as Nick looked up, he saw the behemoth opening its maw once more to let loose another frozen blast of icy breath at the group, sending everyone ducking and dodging for cover. After the attack had ended, Nick quickly assessed the damage the monster had done. Noelle, Winter, and Robert, who had been trying to keep Spencer safe as he prepared another ball of fire, had been frozen completely solid, just like Nick's shambler. Spencer and Clarissa next to him had been frozen too. Adele had abandoned her post as healer and was already rushing toward them, her screams as she ran toward her defeated companions filling the air. Betty was beside her, her glowing rolling pin smashing one of the elementals rushing toward them, failing to kill it but at least sending it flying backward as she and Adele went to save Spencer and the others. Nick's heart wrenched at the sight of his team members injured and frozen, their bodies encased in ice like fragile statues. "This is my fault," he thought, taking in the horror. If he had just retreated, if he had just run away earlier, then they would still be with him. The monster would have been loose, but they'd still be there. He could already see that many of the other dungeon divers that had stood with him shoulder to shoulder against the dungeon break had suffered the same fate, their bodies turned into solid blocks of ice as they stood frozen in their defensive positions. But he had gone too far to turn back, so he put his trust in the stalwart Walters family.
"Arnold! Elizabeth! We have to destroy its core quickly!"
Nick shouted, his voice resounding with urgency. With determination in his eyes, Nick charged forward, smashing into an ice elemental that stood between him and his prey, the monster's icy body glinting from a ray of light escaping through the storm clouds above. The creature shattered upon impact with Nick's weighted spear, but not before a sharp appendage grazed Nick's arm, leaving a flash-frozen gash in its wake.
"Damn!"
he hissed, feeling the sting of the cut. It wasn't deep, but in this cold, every wound was a liability. He applied healing touch quickly.
"Don't give up! We must hold!"
he called out, rallying the remaining defenders as his voice cut through the tumult.
"We stand! We fight! We will not let a single man die in vain!"
And stand they did. They held the line, battered and bruised, but never broken. The behemoth's thunderous roar echoed throughout the frozen battlefield as Oliver, coming out of nowhere, reached the monster first, his heavy mace smashing into its face as the glacial giant bellowed out in pain, sending tremors through Nick's bones. As the behemoth struggled to reform its broken knee so it could stand, the summoned ice elementals swarmed Nick. Each strike from them sent shivers down his spine, threatening to freeze him in place as he pushed forward, trying to reach the boss's core. Nick grit his teeth and pressed forward. Suddenly, Siowa was at his side, dispatching one of the dozens of elementals rushing at him. Together, the pair pushed onward. They fought side by side, their teamwork and trust keeping them alive as it felt like the numbers just continued to grow. As Nick reached the target, he and Siowa both unleashed their strongest attacks. Nick using charge to launch his spear and ensure the maximum impact, and Siowa activating Hwarang's Blossom Fury. The tip of her spear exploded with a pink aura that formed into spinning discs. She stabbed the behemoth repeatedly, and with each rapid thrust, shards of its icy head scattered like dust caught in a maelstrom. Elizabeth joined the assault, her purple sword widening the cracks started by Siowa and Nick until they could see the glowing yellow core. However, The other cracks along its body were already starting to heal as the creature drew in the cold around itself.
"Arnold! Drive this thing into its core!"
Nick shouted as he threw his poisonous spear with every ounce of strength he could muster. The spear whistled as it flew and stuck into the largest crack in the behemoth's head. Arnold leapt high into the air, defying gravity for a moment before bringing down his fiery maul with all his might. The weapon collided with the spear jammed into the behemoth's thick, icy skull, and the creature roared in pain as the spear tip was forcibly hammered into its core. A second later, there was a thunderous boom as the maul's fiery effect triggered, ramming the spear further into the core with explosive force. The creature opened its mouth, as if to scream one last defiant shout, but before a single sound came out, it exploded into a shower of ice shards. Then the red portal flared for a moment before shrinking and returning to its normal blue color. Silence settled upon the battlefield like the first snowfall of winter. Sharp, unexpected, profound. Nick exhaled slowly, watching his breath dissipate into the air as the final XP notification appeared in front of him.
You have gained 16,009 EXP. You have leveled up. You have 5 unassigned stat points. You have leveled up. You have 5 unassigned stat points. Realm Ravager has evolved into Realm Ravager 2. Plus 10% to damage and damage reduction when fighting outside of a dungeon. David's Descendant 4 has evolved into David's Descendant 5. Deal 25% additional damage and take 25% less damage when fighting against enemies that are 15 levels or higher than you. Battle Herald has evolved into Battle Herald 2. Individuals in your party do 10% bonus damage and take 10% less damage while in formations. Plus 10% temporary hit points upon entering a formation. These hit points are removed upon exiting a formation. Effect cannot trigger more than once every 24 hours. Congratulations! You have killed the B-grade dungeon boss, the Glacial Behemoth. You have been awarded the bonus title, Glacial Guardian. Glacial Guardian, uncommon. Your dedication and prowess in safeguarding the realms against the icy perils that threaten its inhabitants have given you insight into the element of ice. This enhanced proficiency grants you greater control and potency when wielding ice-based magic or abilities. Due to reaching the level milestone 30, you have been awarded plus 1 inventory slot. Total inventory slots, 4. You have also been awarded your next class ability, Correcting Bad Form, Charisma. Correcting Bad Form, Charisma. You are able to impart any physical skill you know that does not require magic or aura more easily to one other individual at a time. You are also able to learn any physical skill that does not require magic or aura more easily. This skill improves as your charisma improves. Healing Touch 2 has evolved into Healing Touch 3. Omnitrainer's Insight 2 has evolved into Omnitrainer's Insight 3. Spear Fighting 5 has evolved into Spear Fighting 6. Sword Fighting 2 has evolved into Sword Fighting 3. Enhanced Command 2 has evolved into Enhanced Command 3. Spear Throwing 3 has evolved into Spear Throwing 4.
Part of him was elated at the gains he'd gotten from the fight, but another part knew it was too early to celebrate.
Is it done?
Adele asked, her voice barely above a whisper as she slumped over Spencer's shivering form. The moment the behemoth died, the magic he had woven across the battlefield had faded with him, freeing those trapped in the ice from their prisons. Nick didn't know exactly how long they'd been stuck in there without air, without blood flow, their bodies put in a cruel stasis, and what the damage was going to be.
It's done,
Nick confirmed, his voice steady despite the adrenaline still coursing through him. He ran toward the freed adventurers.
All right. Everyone get these people piled up to save body heat. Topaz, can they handle double the dose of that warmth potion? They're as blue as Alan's balls for the next 40 years of his life.
Hey, Alan started, but then he just shook his head, a small wry smile at the friendly jab on his lips.
Yeah, they can double and even triple the dose.
It'll just reinforce the magic trying to keep their body temperature steady. Here, I have a lot more of them.
Topaz replied as she rifled through the bags of potions she pulled from her inventory. After it looked like the color had returned to Nick's frozen popsicle friends, the group breathed a collective sigh of relief.
We really did it, Nick said to himself as he walked over and picked up his standard.
As Nick took up the standard of greatness and held it over the side of their triumph, laughter and shouts erupted from the guild members and dungeon divers. Some embraced and clapped each other on the back, and others shared looks that spoke volumes of the ordeal they'd endured together.
Boss, I know there's probably another dungeon for us to help at, but, can we rest a few minutes first?
Oliver asked, the first one to speak directly to Nick as the outburst of celebration died down.
Yeah, we can take a minute, Nick replied with a chuckle.
He let out a sigh as he looked around. He could tell that it would take far more than just a few minutes for the newly forged team to recover, but he didn't know if they'd have the luxury of the rest they needed. He wouldn't be able to get any rest if it came at the expense of other people's lives, and the only reason he was allowing himself this brief respite was that he also knew his own team members might start dying if he didn't give them a chance to recover and recuperate before they fought any additional monsters. Nick couldn't help but agonize over what might happen to the city while they recovered, but then Alan's voice rang out over the battleground.
Nick! Nick! Communications are working again! The city is safe! We're the last dungeon that had to be cleared! We did it! We did it, Nick!
Chapter 34.
You hear that, guys? We did it! The dungeons are done!
Reggie yelled out loudly so everyone else could hear. This caused the whole area to erupt in cheers. As much as Nick wanted to celebrate, let loose, and cheer with the others, watching them do it caused his mood to suddenly dampen. He couldn't help but think back to the times they had finally beat the big bad in his last life, the way the people had celebrated just like that. He had been one of them too. After they repelled Jormungandr, the serpent of death and destruction that had come through one of the triple S-ranked dungeon breaks, Nick had been on the front lines cheering with the others. It had felt like everything was going to be okay again after that. But it wasn't. The very next day another break happened, then another, and then another, until there was no cheer, jubilation, or mirth left on anyone's face. There was only cold acceptance of the fate to come as one person after another disappeared from the front lines following each victory.
Nick, I said we won! It's over! You did it! We stopped the Red Death!
Alan told him, putting his still good hand on Nick's shoulder.
Cheer up, man! Yeah, bro,
Reggie said as he came over and gave Nick a pat on the back so hard it almost pushed him forward.
We did it! This is the time when you're supposed to pull out those big bucks of yours and order some food for the crew. Maybe some steak and eggs, some hearty loaded fries, and a nice cold glass of beer.
Reggie, you're 18, not 21. You can't drink,
Spencer corrected him.
I just fought with my life on the line to save the city. The least they can do is let me have a beer. Isn't there some law about military people being able to drink for that reason? Old enough to die for your country, old enough to have a beer or something?
Reggie grumbled as he tried to reason his way around the law.
Nope, and tough luck, Spencer replied.
I don't know about alcohol, but I know a restaurant nearby. My friend runs it. They have steak and eggs. I just talked to her, and she said we could come on by for a victory feast when we're done here.
Clarissa mentioned as she walked up, using her magic to even out the ground around them, undoing much of the damage the glacial behemoth had done to the terrain.
Nick, we did it!
Maria's voice came in like a loudspeaker in a tiny room as she rushed across the broken battlefield toward Nick.
Nick, we did it! We did it, and you should have seen us! That clockwork boss was so tough, but we totally owned it!
What she said. Lorenzo, the former captain of the Abyssal Knights, agreed with a nod as he walked over, his once shining armor dented and tarnished with blood. The other members of his former guild were beside him, looking like they had each been through their own little hell. Their bodies were covered in wounds and blood, far too much blood to be their own.
I'm glad you all survived, Nick told them.
What about the other dungeons? Do you know what happened to the ones we didn't cover? We had 6 on our list, and Mr. Walters and our group took out 1 extra. But that should have still left 4.
Jennifer's team took out 1, and the Circle of the Moon or some other guild got another.
From what I understand, Mr. Walters got a third nearly by himself, Lorenzo informed Nick.
That great pastor of the God of Steel is growing stronger by the day. Then there was one dungeon where the managing guild got the message early about the terrorists and were able to contain everything. As for the last remaining one, we don't know what happened. Some old dude came in, murdered everything, and then left. Oh, and Jennifer's group is headed this way too, by the way. She just took longer to handle the second dungeon than she expected.
How many people are with Jennifer?
Clarissa, who was just standing there, asked.
I need to call my friend and have her start working on more food if there are more people.
It was at this point that Lorenzo looked Nick dead in the eyes and shook his head.
Nick, you're the leader now. You can't be wearing that face.
Stacy grunted as she nodded in agreement.
You look like someone stole your favorite mole. If you need cheering up, I can help you.
Ha! You're gonna get in trouble with Sioa if... Hey, where is Sioa? Wait, is that why you're mopey? Your girl ditch you in the after-party, bro?
Reggie asked, twisting his head back and forth as he looked for the former class president. LeGrand frowned.
Oof. She's over there looking worse than you,
he said as he pointed to Sioa, who was just staring at one of the dead sirens on the ground, her spear still in hand.
Okay, enough of this. It's a celebration day. Come on, leader, activate that charm of yours and make sure everyone stays in a good mood. We just saved an entire city. Every person you see, every place you pass by today, they're still here because of you,
Lorenzo said, gesturing at the world around them, filled with people doing their best to recover, cheering, or cleaning up their broken storefronts.
Yeah, Nick nodded, forcing himself to smile.
This may have been just one of 100 battles he'd won, still knowing that tomorrow would bring worse. But for them, for most everyone around him, it was their first, and they would need their spirits lifted if they were going to survive the coming days.
You're right. That's right. You guys should celebrate properly. Alan, since you were able to get your phone working again, call every restaurant and tell any of them that still have electricity in their kitchens and chefs still at work that we're going to throw a party. I'll pay for all of it. Just have them cook everything and feed everyone who is helping in these danger zones.
My friend's restaurant is still the best, though, so we should go there ourselves.
Clarissa insisted.
Okay then, Clarissa. Tell your friend to open all the wine bottles and chill all the beers.
Reggie is right.
You all who are done for the day need to be able to eat, drink, and party like tomorrow will never come. Hell yeah!
Reggie shouted. Wait, what do you mean, you all who are done? Aren't you joining us? Alan asked as he held his phone, looking a little confused.
Do you even have to ask? He's going to help with the relief effort the moment his muscles recover enough to start moving rubble.
Topaz remarked with a laugh as she twirled her hair for a moment.
All right, if you're helping, I'm helping too, Nick. Just know, I want twice as many drinks when the people are all rescued.
Yeah, boss, we'll help you out too, Oliver said as he pushed himself into the group and put away his mace. I've rested enough. Let's get going. Nick looked at a few of the dead bodies scattered around the compound. The way they had died was quite horrific, but it wasn't like there was anything Nick could do about it now. He sighed for a moment, thinking about how many people might still need help, and then just shrugged.
Yeah, we've rested enough. You guys ready?
I hate to rain on your pro-people parade, but it won't be necessary, Lorenzo spoke up first as he rolled up his sleeves. The priests you brought with you, in combination with the city firemen, police, local citizens, a bunch of guild folks, and that team the driver of yours put together, have already been working overtime on that cause. It's mostly done. We got probably an hour of sweat at most ahead of us. Everyone that can help is already helping. You've inspired too many people to show off alone.
Why do you make it sound like a bad thing, then? Oliver asked.
Because everyone in our guild knows Nick is only happy when he's helping other people.
Lorenzo answered with a laugh.
Nick could tell from his composure that Lorenzo, as a veteran dungeon diver, was much more used to death than Winter, Noelle, or many of the others.
Well, good. Clean up crew first, and then party after. I'll buy you those rounds myself, Topaz, as long as you don't let Christina know I forgot to volunteer for it on my own,
Reggie said.
Three drinks, and it's a deal.
Topaz agreed as she pulled out a potion and handed it to Reggie.
And here. This should help you show off with the rescue effort, too.
Okay. Have everyone that wants to handle the relief effort organize up and we'll head out.
I just need to handle something first, Nick said before going to his girl. She looked over and saw him approaching. Her eyes quickly darted away again. It was like she was scared to face him. It was just an illusion, Nick assured her. I don't know what you saw or why you're acting this way, but it wasn't real. What the sirens made you see? It was just an illusion.
It was probably very real.
Siowa's face fell a little as she still avoided looking at him.
It was probably exactly what would have happened if you hadn't saved Tejo. It was a world where I still treated you like trash. A world where I never helped you in those dungeons. A world where you died and the world came to an end and I was just sitting there alone, miserable, waiting in some cold, dark hole for it to be over.
That's not the world we've made for ourselves, though, Nick said as he pulled her into a hug, trying his best to comfort her. You can't dwell on it.
But it is how I treated you. The only reason we're even together is because you saved my brother and because I got a chance to see the real you,
she replied.
Try to forget, but it's not like I can't remember how awful I was before I understood what happened to you. Just because you were suffering, I kept making your life worse, and I was a monster. I can't believe all the things I said and did to you when you were only hurting because of that poison. It's not like you weren't a hard worker before the poison. I was arrogant and mean, and even at your worst, you were still kind.
The sirens exaggerated things. You weren't that bad. I was that dumb and stupid. You act like you were mean, but you were just honest. The crappy future you kept telling me would be my fate? It was. You weren't wrong. The life you said I'd suffer if I didn't get my act together? Yeah, that happened. If anything, I would have hated sugar-coated lies more, he reassured her. The only thing that matters now is that I have you, you have me, and we have a victory to celebrate. Which we must do before you are allowed to mope. Siowa blinked.
What? Did you just... Are you saying I don't have permission to mope yet? What are you going to do if I just mope anyways?
I don't know. Spank you? Nick chuckled. Are you sure you want to find out? Siowa gave him a mischievous look and then said,
Well, maybe I should misbehave more.
Siowa! Nick! Enough with the cute couple's time!
Reggie called over to them.
We need to go save the citizens before that restaurant finishes making our food. I heard they brought out the portable ranges they use for catering events and the whole nine yards to figure out how to cook all our steaks. So let's get moving! We got people to save and then beers to drink!
The interruption brought an end to Nick's conversation with Siowa, but it still hung a little in Nick's mind as he held Siowa's hand. And the two of them went to the party, the cheers of random people filling the street as they passed by. The heroes of New Smithstead. Chapter 35. The patriarch of the Gallows family couldn't think straight as he walked back to where his driver was waiting, the blood still fresh across his hands from the cultists he'd murdered and the boss he'd destroyed. It was hard for him to take in what had happened. He wasn't a fool. He knew in the back of his head how much damage the city had suffered, how many people had died because of his actions. He hadn't killed them himself, but if he hadn't tried to stop a coup that was never going to happen, then they would still be alive. The feeling of their blood on his hands was something he couldn't wash off.
What was your grandson's expression when he found out you foiled his insurrection?
Darlene, his personal secretary, asked the moment she picked up the phone.
There was no insurrection, the old man replied. He wasn't planning anything against me. I wasn't even important enough to be dealt with in his eyes.
What?
Darlene's shock was clear even through the phone.
He had never thought of me, of the family, once in all this. He wasn't planning on taking what was his by force. The predictions of Daedalus, the near destruction of the city of New Smithstead. It was true.
That doesn't make sense. How would someone like Nick be able to predict that? We both know he's Daedalus. We checked the government records ourselves. I gave you the report on his activity. If there was some hidden master giving him this information, then we would have found the guy by now.
Darlene insisted as she tried to reason things out over the phone, but there was no reason to these events. Nothing could explain them.
Unless it's divine or being telepathically communicated, the old man remarked, still struggling with the information that had been laid bare before him.
Telepathically communicated. that's possible, but divine revelation from someone in the Pantheon is more likely. I've heard of those among the top paladins and noble knights of the Church. I just didn't think they were real.
That's right. Tell me, do you remember the night he went into that yellow portal with just that priestess friend of his? It came back very different that night. You said you followed him to the dungeon, but he was clearly possessed. Telepathic communication wouldn't have that power.
You can trust me on this, sir. Ever since you decided to rush the air process, I've kept a keen eye on him. He was absolutely possessed that night. A friend and fellow guildmate of his tried to stop him, but he wouldn't have it. He must have been blessed,
Darlene exclaimed.
At such a young age, too.
So that explains why he doesn't care about his family. Everything he does must be for the sake of the mission he was given in Revelations,
Grandfather Gallows concluded, unable to come up with another idea that made logical sense to him, as no one would normally give up a shot at the Gallows' fortune of their own volition.
If that's the case, then what do you want us to do? Should we stop investigating him? Should we tell the Church? We know the day he changed, the moment he switched, so that must have been his first revelation. If you want, I can compile the information and bring it to the Church on our family's behalf. It might create opportunities for our family in the future if they know a chosen one is within our ranks.
A chosen one that has rejected us, the Patriarch noted, grimacing at the idea. No. Keep investigating him. But now this changes everything. We are not dealing with some gifted child. We are dealing with a divinely chosen being. If we are to ensure the prosperity of the Gallows' name going forward, we must make sure we are not on the wrong side of this.
I'll take care of it immediately, sir,
Darlene replied, manners having finally been restored to his overly talkative assistant. With this, the old man hung up and turned back to look at the city one more time. He couldn't help but feel embarrassment and shame over all the people that had died because of him. This was a sin, a blemish to the noble name of Gallows, that he could never let another person discover. And fortunately enough for him, only a single broker had handled all the mercenary purchasing. There was only one person who knew what he had done. One loose thread to cut.
Chapter 36. Epilogue. With the city saved and the party over, Nick thought his job in New Smithstead was done. He wanted to just get on the plane, go home, get a light workout in, and go to bed. That was all he wanted to do, but as he got up from his table to leave, he found Oliver, Betty, and the others standing in front of him, eyes wide with hope as they blocked him from leaving the restaurant.
"You can't leave without us, boss," Oliver said, his tone firm as he laid out his demand.
"I kind of have to get going soon. And the plane doesn't have that many seats," Nick explained wearily.
"Then we can find our way to the guild headquarters, but you have to accept us,"
Betty demanded.
"Yeah, we need to join your guild. We heard all about how much you do for your people from your guildmates," the archer added.
"I don't even know your name yet,"
Nick wanted to scream in his mind as he was faced by one person after the other, each of them demanding the same thing.
"You can't have too many mages, can you? I can even teach you all some earth magic if you accept me into the guild,"
Clarissa insisted. The crowd of adventurers between Nick and the door kept growing as more of the people he had fought alongside stood up with the same request.
"You're not going to turn them down, are you?"
Jennifer asked as she walked up behind Nick, a coy smile on her face.
"What about me? If I asked to join, would you turn me down too?"
"But you have dungeons, and trainers, and gear, and..."
"And what if I want to be part of a community? What if I want to join you and the others, fighting the good fight?"
"My family lives two blocks from the Terraquake dungeon," interrupted one of the two swordsmen that had been fighting alongside Nick. "If those monsters had poured out of that gate, they'd be dead. My father, my sister, my whole family. As far as I'm concerned, you didn't just save their lives, you saved mine too by saving theirs. I want to pay you back any way I can. So let me follow the banner and join your guild, too. This is not a debt I can leave unpaid."
"His sentiments mirror my own,"
the other swordsman said, the two spearmen joining him as they also stepped forward to pressure Nick.
"I'll give the guild access to my dungeon as well whenever I'm not using it,"
Jennifer offered.
"That'll boost your guild dungeon count to 5.
"Fine, fine. Who am I to turn down the heroes of New Smithstead?
Nick said, trying to play up the Heroes of New Smithstead part as much as he could. While he knew that it would take a lot to organize and train all the people that wanted to join the guild, he knew that in the long run this would be for the best. Besides, with all that they'd risked helping to defend the city from the dungeon outbreaks, they'd more than proved they were the type of people he needed.
"That's a spirit,"
Oliver said, smacking Nick's shoulder hard enough that if Nick hadn't worked out regularly, it might have knocked him down.
"You hear that, guys? We're the Heroes of New Smithstead, and our fearless leader here is formally inviting us to his guild."
With that, a large cheer erupted through the restaurant as the people still drinking and celebrating raised their glasses in unison, letting out a loud cheer. As he looked at them, for a moment, his vision blurred. He could see the outline of 100 soldiers around a bonfire raising wooden mugs and clay bowls filled with mead in celebration toward a victory he didn't know. He recognized a few of the faces immediately, the faces of the men who had followed the Black Witch into the dungeon.
"Don't you dare try to pout. We both know this will be good in the long run, especially Clarissa joining,"
Siomar said, likely misinterpreting his confusion over the sudden Black Witch flashback as disgruntlement.
"With her, we'll have Earth to go with our ice and fire. Just a few more elements and we can finish training the Avatar. Pretty sure it's wind, not ice,"
Topaz remarked as she twirled her long blonde hair with her fingers and sipped her drink at a nearby table.
"Oh, that's right,"
Siowa said, looking over at Nick.
"We need to buy wind and water spellbooks from the market."
"Like they're just selling magic spellbooks online like that," Nick replied with a laugh.
"Well, I'll go ask my family about renting one or two vehicles to transport the new recruits to Daedalus headquarters,"
Jennifer told Nick.
"Since we're all in the same guild now, I need to make sure we can take care of our own."
Jennifer laughed.
"You know we could always just rent a hotel for them when we build a dormitory, and it's not like all the exercising and training has to be done in the weightlifting part of the gym. You're going to be fine,"
COR assured Nick.
"And if you're not, you know we still have a gym of our own,"
Mr. Walters said as he came over to Nick.
"You've done well, son. I'm proud of you. Many people are alive today because of you."
"Yep, Dad's right,"
Arnold agreed as he, Lou, and Elizabeth came over to Nick too.
"You really busted your rear to organize the people and save the city. You should be proud."
"Right." Nick barely recognized the word proud as he stood face to face with the four people he felt he had betrayed the most. He had told so many his secret, but not them. And they didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve to be kept in the dark. He'd have to tell them the full story in someplace more secure than the middle of a half-destroyed city with a bunch of strangers, but he could start the conversation at least.
"About that, I kind of have a secret to tell you all. I'm..."
"Shh! Are you an idiot?"
Arnold snapped, smacking Nick in the back of the head and stopping him before he could confess.
"There are a lot more people than just us here. Don't say anything right now. We already know what you're going to say anyway."
"You do?"
Nick asked, but given their expressions before the event, when he had revealed this day's calamity was something Daedalus had predicted, he wasn't surprised that they knew.
"Of course we know,"
Arnold answered in a whisper.
"We just figured that whatever happened, it was something you didn't feel comfortable sharing yet. But if you're going to tell us the story, tell us at home, when it's just us. You should be able to choose who you tell and when. We're family. We'll still support you no matter what. You're one of us, after all.
And if you just want to avoid talking about it altogether, hit some weights together and just focus on yourself, that'll be fine too,"
Mr. Walters added.
"Men go to the gym all the time to work off their problems. If talking about your secret is too difficult, we can just work out more."
"Dad?"
Elizabeth gave Mr. Walters the side eye.
"That is not helping. It's important to talk about things."
"I'm just saying he can talk about them with his weights if it's more comfortable,"
Mr. Walters grumbled. "Well, I appreciate your patience," Nick responded. "When we get back home, I need to talk to you all then. I have a story to tell you all that you may not believe, but I need to tell you nonetheless." Mr. Walters smiled.
"All right then. We'll hear you out when you get home, and we'll also help you by letting your members work out at our gym, too, until you get your facilities expanded."
"That sounds great," Nick replied, feeling very appreciative of the amazing family he'd gotten to know.
He couldn't help but think of the fact that he had gone to them just looking for an easy guild to join that he knew would do well one day, not knowing at all how important they'd become in his life over time. As he turned to the crowd to take in the sight of the new and old members of his guild drinking and eating side by side as they exchanged stories, he also couldn't help but notice Maria. Seeing the way she was nearly standing on the table as she acted out what Nick could only guess was an over-exaggerated moment from her fight during the Red Death event, he could tell that the dry-humored, self-deprecating woman he'd known in his last life was gone, and that if things carried on, she'd never exist again. This Maria was so wholly different from the original Maria he had known and loved as a close friend and companion. It was just another reminder of the fact that the old Maria was gone, a fact he'd been forced to face more and more as time went on, but one that was somehow comforting as he saw the new Maria's smile as she danced back and forth in her dramatic reenactment.
All right, you ready to head out?
Siowa asked, taking his hand.
We got a lot of work to do if we're going to prepare for the endless night you keep talking about. I can't imagine how it's worse than the Red Death would have been if we hadn't stopped it from spiraling out of control.
Yeah. And now, whether we like it or not, we can't rely on my past life to figure out what to do. There is no way that cult won't know we were the ones who stopped their plans, Nick whispered.
You think they'll interfere with us? Try to kill us?
Siowa asked quietly. I have no idea what to expect, but I suspect, given Grandfather Gallo's sudden death in my previous timeline, that the forebears of N'Jenga were powerful enough to take him out. I'm certain they must have been responsible. So who knows what horrendous schemes they'll have for me and you, Nick answered with a shrug. He knew he should be worried, but he wasn't. After all, unlike his grandfather or any of the others, he had surrounded himself with amazing people and had no doubt they would be able to handle this problem, like every other problem, together.
By the way,
Siowa said as they walked outside,
we're totally going to have to punish those merc guilds that fail to fulfill their obligation.
Oh, yeah. So they can't blame me? I'm going to have someone else make it very public that they broke contract with us last minute and that we had booked them on Daedalus's predictions to stop this catastrophe. Their names are going to be ruined, Nick explained with a laugh. While it was necessary to plan how to stop the tribulations of tomorrow, it was fun to plan how to enact revenge on those who had wronged him yesterday. The problem was, rather than blaming the sword, he would rather blame the individual who pointed it at him. That meant he needed to confirm who had wronged him, and make sure they never had the ability to do so again.
Name: Nick Gallows. Class: Trainer. Level: 31. EXP to next level, 930 out of 13,150. HP, 680. Mana, 170. Unspent stat points, 0. Strength, 76, plus 15. Agility, 68, plus 15. Constitution, 70, plus 15. Aura, 26, plus 16. Magic, 36, plus 12. Charisma, 197, plus 32. Active skills. Training, 5, 76%. Get in the zone, 3, 92%. Frost Giant's magic, 3, 6%. Charge, 3, 83%. Straight thrust, 4, 34%. Spear sweep, 4, 35%. Healing touch, 3, 5%. Omnitrainer's insight, 3, 7%. Sorrow's final laugh, 52%. Pep talk, 2, 12%. Cloak of madness, 2, 12%. Holy fire, 2, 79%. Dragon Fist of Fury, 2, 11%. Passive skills. Spear fighting, 6, 5%. Sword fighting, 3, 2%. Learn the basics, 4, 84%. Nutritionist, 2, 16%. Enhanced command, 3, 9%. Sword and shield, 2, 45%. Tough love, 2, 89%. Knife throwing, 31%. Spear throwing, 4, 1%. Survival tactics, 27%. Blacksmithing, 2, 19%. Shield offense, 2, 62%. Unarmed fighting, 2, 78%. Total inventory slots, 4. Items: emerald earrings of the Moondrake, weight of dedication, sandals of Hermes, signet of the Verdant Guardian, crown of the Mountaintop, sheath of returning, poisonous spear of returning, standard of greatness, blade of 1,000 failures, titan axe, the soul stealer's ring, maul of afterburn. Titles: David's Descendant, 5. Clear Intentions. Speedy Can't Lose, 3. Drake Slayer, 2. Herbicidal Maniac. Mass Murderer. Crustacean Crusher, 2. Realm Ravager, 2. Hundredfold Victor. Hound of Helsing, 2. Redeemer of Souls. Battle Herald, 2. Goblin Bane. Glacial Guardian.
You have been listening to Apocalypse Regression, Book 4, written by Charles Dean and R.A. Mejia, performed by Daniel Wisniewski and Elizabeth Plant. Copyright 2023 by Charles Dean and Ramon Mejia. Published by Single Player Books, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.